What an interesting day this is going to be. The first Sunday that I'll be preaching when Mary Nell Sprayberry is not among the living. And to be preaching about the power of the Word of God, which is what she built her life around. And I was thinking about that, and then I opened a book that I have been using recently that Alan Fadling wrote about what it means to follow Jesus. And he was talking about that passage where Mary said to Jesus after the death of Lazarus, "If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And this is the point that Alan Fadling made that I think is so appropriate to us and for us to remember. He said, sometimes we don't need to know that the Lord is the one who can prevent death. Sometimes we need to know that the Lord is the one who has the power of resurrection. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? This past week has been a challenging time because not only have we lost Mary Nell, but Mary Bird lost her dad. In the last few weeks, Thelma has lost both of her sisters. We've been touched, a number of us, by death. How good it is to remember, and it has no power over those who believe. Isn't that good? Now, if I were a good pastor, I would say that's enough sermon and I would let you go home early. But I'm not. I just needed to say that. That's your extra message. That's, since we're not coming on Sunday night, that's your Sunday night message. So now I'll move on to Sunday morning. How about that? How important is a dynamic relationship with the Word of God? The kind of encounter with Scripture that is life-changing. We were just watching that video a moment ago about these past few weeks, and so many of you were a part of that process of speaking the Word of God into the very fabric of this church. And what a powerful thing it is to know that God has given us the opportunity to have a dynamic relationship with Him through His Word that speaks to our lives. This word that has 37 authors, this word that was written over a period of 1,500 years and then gathered together as one book that speaks God's truth revealed through men to people like you and I. How important is it for you to have a dynamic relationship with the Word of God? Not just when we read it together, and not when we stand and read it on Sundays, but in your life, in your everyday life. How important. You know, you could ask the question, but isn't it possible to be a Christian and not have an active, regular relationship with Scripture? And my answer to you would be, yes, it is possible. It's possible for you to be a believer, to know that Christ is your Lord, to know you have the assurance of heaven, to recognize He is with you in His Holy Spirit every day and never once open the Bible between Sunday to Sunday. Yes, you can be that kind of Christian. But there's another question you have to ask, and it is this: is it possible to be a growing Christian who is becoming deeper and stronger spiritually? Becoming more like Christ and more dependent upon Him without a dynamic relationship with Scripture? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. It is impossible to have that kind of relationship with God, that growing faith in Jesus, that growing trust in Him, and not make time to expose yourself to His Word. This is what I've observed and experienced in my own life and in the lives of other people. And it is this: the quality of your spiritual life is directly dependent upon how deeply connected you are to the Bible. Now that's so important, I'm going to say it again. The quality of your spiritual life is directly dependent upon how deeply connected you are to the Bible. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, my faith is really not that important to me, the truth is I can go days at a time and not really think about the Lord. I don't define my life by Jesus, and I don't find direction for the way I live in Jesus, then I would be willing to say to you, that's because you're not spending time in the Word every day. You're not spending time asking God to guide you, bless you, and lead you through His Word. There have to be those times when the Bible is a vital commitment in your life. Those times when you neglect and ignore the Bible are also the times when your faith becomes dry and temptation assaults you. Those times when you say to yourself, you know, it's okay for me to be a Christian. I can be a nominal Christian. I can be a getting by Christian. And I really just don't have time and I don't have interest in spending time in Scripture every day. And I can tell you this, and as long as you walk through this earth with that attitude, your faith is not going to grow. Your relationship with Christ is not going to become richer. You are not going to become everything God wants you to be. Until you make the decision, I'm going to expose myself to the Word. And I'm going to do it on a regular basis. If you want to see the difference that a dynamic relationship with Scripture makes in your life, one of the best examples you can look at in the Bible is that of King David. King David is one of the Bible's greatest paradoxes. He is the one we point to, is the one who is described as a man after God's own heart. But he is also the man whose sin nature caused him to commit adultery, and from that adultery to bring about the death of an innocent man and disruption throughout his kingdom. David is the person that Paul described as having served God in his generation. But he's also the man who saw his own family torn apart as a result of his sinful actions. Most of all, he is a man who learned the hard way. You have to have a dynamic relationship with God in His Word. David was a lot like you and me. He knew how to do things God's way, but he also knew how to do things his own way. He learned through experience the destructive power of sin, and he also learned the necessity of heart-deep repentance. But most of all, he had to remember the power of staying in the Word of God. And in the first psalm, the Lord inspired him to describe the difference. Now, here's the tragedy of King David. And he wrote this psalm long before he fell into sin. He knew this truth long before he faced the seductive power of temptation. But he neglected it. When we see what happened in David's life, we see a portrait of this is what it's like to walk carefully with God and in His Word. And this is a portrait of what it's like when a person of God begins to neglect the most important things of all. So let's jump in, and I want you to see what the Bible has to say through the first psalm, because it talks to us about the power of depending upon the Word. And the first thing he says is this: you are blessed when you avoid the progressive power of sin. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 1:1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This passage vividly describes the progression of temptation and spiritual downfall. This passage says, this is what happens to you when you allow yourself to drift away from God, turn away from His Word, neglect what He's saying to you, and follow the path of temptation in your life. It's important to note that temptation hardly ever challenges you to immediately do something drastic that will separate you from the Lord and His ways. I would be willing to bet that almost everybody in this room could choose a time in your life, a moment, an incident, when you found yourself in a mess of your own making, a mess where you knew, I am about as far away from the Lord as I can get, and I have made a stupid decision that has affected my life and the lives of others. Now, what that meant in your life is not what it means in mine, but all of us have been through those times when we recognize I drifted away from God, and all of a sudden I found myself in a mess. Here's the thing. You probably didn't wake up one morning and say, so today I'm just going to rebel against the Lord. Today I am going to commit drastic sin. Today I'm going to do something that I never thought I would be capable of doing. Today, I'm going to do wrong. Instead, what probably happened in your life is the same thing that has happened in mine, which is you found yourself drifting away an inch at a time, a step at a time, a day at a time, and when that time comes that you make that drastic choice that creates so much trouble in your life, you recognize I was headed in that direction for a long, long time. Sin tries to move you gradually away from God's will. Notice the way that David describes it. He says, first you walk by, then you stop and stand, and finally you sit and stay. You see the strategy of temptation and sin in Psalm 1:1, and it's almost the same strategy that causes you to purchase a new car. You know what I mean? The first time you notice a beautiful vehicle, oh, it's gorgeous, great color, caught your attention, but the truth is, you're not looking for a car, so you just walk on by and don't think much about it until the next day, when you see it again, and you stand and you stop and you look at it. Man, that color is perfect for me. You look in the window and those leather seats just look so inviting. The features are exactly what you would like, and you just stand there and you look at that new car. The third time, you begin to talk to the salesman, and he describes that car in glorious detail. Understand, he probably never talks to you about the mechanics of that vehicle unless that happens to be something you care about. You know what he's going to talk to you about? How you're going to feel when you drive that new car. Man, if you buy this car, you're going to feel so good about yourself. You're going to look around at the people around you, and you're going to feel sorry for them because they don't have what you have. And he's going to talk to you about how it's just going to fill your heart with pleasure because you have that new car. And you know when you're going to be sunk? You're going to be sunk when he says one thing to you. What do you think he's going to say? Just sit down in a minute and see how it feels. And David said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's exactly what happened to David when he committed his greatest sin. You know what the Bible tells us? First, it tells us this, that he stayed at home when he was supposed to be out leading his army. He sent his armies to battle instead of leading the way as he was supposed to. It says he went up on the roof when he knew it was the wrong time of day. When he saw Bathsheba, he chose not to turn around and go inside. He made a decision, I will commit sin, and nobody will ever know what happened. and the consequences of that sinful choice and the sinful choices that followed haunted him for the rest of his life. David understood this is what happens, a step at a time, an inch at a time, a day at a time, I find myself roaming away from the Lord. It's true of everyone who chooses the path of temptation. When you walk down those steps, you begin by believing you're the one who's in control. I can start this and I can stop this anytime I want to because, after all, I'm in control of my own life. You justify your actions by convincing yourself, when I commit this sin, it's going to give me so much pleasure. You try to tell yourself, and if I do this, nobody else is ever going to be affected. If I hurt anybody, I will only hurt me. And that's almost never true. And in the end, when all the dust settles, you discover you're not a victor, you're a victim. When it comes to temptation, the Bible says you are blessed when the first time you are attracted by the sparkle of temptation, you make the choice, I'm going to turn another way. So where am I supposed to turn? When temptation calls my name, when it catches my eye, when it begins to stir my heart, what am I supposed to do? Well, David tells us, he says this, and blessed is the person who trusts God's word to guide him. I'm struggling with temptation. It's trying to catch my eye. It wants me to start taking those steps away from him. David has one sentence. You know what he says? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But he turns to the Bible to discover God's strength and God's direction. Here's what we have to remember from that. That while temptation and sin find a way to sneak into your life, a strong Christian life is always the result of a deliberate choice. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's already made the decision. I want to expose myself to what God says in His Word. Not only do I want to read it, I want to understand it. Not only do I want to understand it, I want to apply it. My delight is in the law of the Lord. To delight is to discover where you belong. You know, the Bible says that temptation leads you to walking and standing and sitting. But when your delight is in the law of the Lord, what it's saying is, that's home. That's the place where you find rest. You know, I'm like a lot of you probably. I love to go away on trips. I love to travel. Whether it's a trip to the beach or whether it's going somewhere I've never been before, I love to get out and go somewhere and see something new and do something new. I'm so excited about next Christmas taking a whole bunch of us, and Joe and I are going to lead you, and we're going to have a great time in the Holy Land. It's going to be a life-changing experience, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a lot of us. But you know, when I travel, and I've been gone for a while, there's somewhere I want to go more than anywhere else in the world. You know where it is, don't you? Home. I'm ready to go home. You know, those times when you've been off on a trip and you're coming back in and it gets to be about, 9, 10 o'clock at night and you still got 3 or 4 hours to go before you're going to arrive back at home. And somebody will say something along the lines of, well, why don't we just stop for the night and we'll get a hotel room and then we can drive on in tomorrow. And what is it you say? No, I just want to get home. I want to sleep in my bed tonight. And that's what it means to delight in the law of the Lord. It means when I come to Scripture, I'm not going to some foreign place. When I come to Scripture, I'm not trying to figure out what's going on. This is home, spiritually. This is home. I want to go home. I want to learn what God is saying and how God is leading and where God is blessing and what God is promising and what God is challenging me to do and how God wants me to trust Him. And I can only get those things when I go home to His Word. To delight in the Word of God is to realize that knowing what He says and following His way is the only place that brings you to contentment and rest. Someone asked you the question, why is reading the Bible every day important to your spiritual life? Psalm 1 would say, well, it's not because it's a spiritual discipline. Psalm 1 would say, it is not because it is a necessary commitment. Psalm 1 would say, you go to the Bible every day because that's where you go home to. It is the place that leads to lasting joy. And here's the thing. And if the path of temptation leads you away from the Lord, the Word of God leads you right back again. But for that to happen, you have to make two basic decisions. The first one is this: I will know the Word of God. If Scripture is going to lead me back to where I belong, I need to know what it says. And then number two is, and I will do the Word of God. I'm not just going to understand it, grasp it, have an intellectual knowledge. If God says do it, I will do it. If God says don't, I will not. I am going to actively apply what I am learning in my life. That's why Psalm 1 says, and in His law He meditates day and night. In other words, pay deliberate attention to. You know, we talk about meditation and we think of that as sort of sitting aside and maybe you're supposed to light a candle and maybe you're supposed to get in a silent. Meditation just means that's the thing that occupies my attention. When I have a moment to stop and think, what am I thinking about? And searching the Bible for truth and guidance and purpose and promises makes you really think about it. And when you're thinking about those things, you're not so likely to be distracted by the false promises of sin because your attention is on what God is saying to you. And then the Bible says this. It says, and you are blessed when you invest your life wisely. You know, the Bible has a principle that tells us over and over and over again, from beginning to end. It simply says this: whatever you reap, that's what you're going to sow. And that's exactly what David says in this. Listen to what it says. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And then he flips the coin and he says this: the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It matters how you invest your life. You receive a return on whatever investment you make. If you invest yourself in the things God is teaching you and telling you in His living Word, then you shall be blessed. If you choose to walk in the other direction, if you choose to walk and sit and stand in the way of sin, then you're also going to receive that return on your investment. But it's going to be chaffed, driven by the wind. Whatever choice you make yields inevitable results. Those who invest in sin receive sin's consequences. I love that description. They are chaff. You know what chaff is? It's just what's left over. when you've brought in the harvest and there's nothing left but waste. And the Bible says chaff has grown up quickly, used up quickly, and discarded quickly as absolutely useless. The Bible says the wind blows it away. And all of those promises that sin has made you, I'm going to give you pleasure, I'm going to give you fulfillment, I'm going to give you a whole new direction for your life. You know what all that stuff is? Chaff. Here today, gone tomorrow. I think about that parable Jesus told about the prodigal son. And in the midst of all of that, there's this young man who has said, I'm tired of listening to my father. I'm tired of obeying my father. I'm tired of doing the things I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do what makes me happy. And he spends his life seeking every kind of pleasure he can possibly imagine. And then the money runs out. And what happens when the money's gone? So are the friends. So is the fun. So is all of those false promises that people made to him about the pleasures of sin. Chaff. The Bible says those who invest in godliness receive God's blessings. I love that description too. What are they like? Trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Reminds me of something I read a while back. It simply said this: when you choose sin, you receive short-term rewards with long-term consequences. When you choose godliness, there may be short-term consequences, things you can't do, places you won't go, experiences you avoid, but you receive long-term rewards. No decision is ever more important. And that's why David ends the first psalm the way he does, because he simply says, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's about as plain as you can put things, isn't it? The Lord knows the ways of the godly. Your life is in His hands. He's paying attention to you. He cares for you. He knows every hair on your head. There is no greater security and no greater reward than being found in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of the promises of God are yes in Him. But the ways of the ungodly shall perish. That chaff will blow away. There's no hope to take its place. There's nowhere to turn that can get you home. All you can wait for is that eternal judgment that falls upon those who thought, I don't need God's way. And then they inherit the worst of the worst. When we plant our lives in the Lord and in His Word, we discover all of the abundance that God has promised to us and all of the plans He's made for us. But we have to choose to plant ourselves in Him, to trust Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, the Bible simply says, Jesus simply said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That's what the Bible says. Only one way, the Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, you've never trusted Him as your Savior. You've never come into a personal relationship with Him. Today may be the day when you need to trust Christ. Today you may be here and you're recognizing, more than anything in the world, I need to plant my life and my membership in a church where there is a solid commitment to the Word of God, because that's what I need more than anything. And today, as we sing our invitation hymn, it may be time for you to slip up your hand and say, that's me, that's me. That's what I want. Maybe there's another decision. If God is speaking to you, today's the day to just simply slip up your hand so that our staff and I can find you after the service is done, and we can talk about the decision God's leading you to. Is he speaking to you today? Let's stand. Let's sing.